Book. So notice chapter 1, verse 10, to wait for his son from heaven. And then chapter 2, verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians. For what is our hope or joy, a crown of rejoicing, not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Chapter 4, we won't read it, but 13 through 18 is the great passage on the rapture. Chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 2, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So all five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, then we got to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels taking vengeance and so forth. So every chapter in these two books touches on the return of Jesus. But tonight's passage, which is quite long, which is why we needed to get into it early, is probably the most detailed passage on the Antichrist, which is future, outside of Revelation. So we need to study it and understand it together. Beginning in verse 3 tonight, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the mystery of iniquity is our title, a passage on the coming tribulation and Antichrist. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would teach us through your word tonight, and Lord, that we would be excited that very soon we will hear the trumpet blow, as we read in chapter 4, and that you will call us to be with you, and then all these things will begin. And so give us an understanding as we compare Scripture with Scripture tonight, and may your will be done in our hearts through your powerful word. We commit this service to you and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So notice he says there in verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So he's saying this is a common thing for all of us. But he says in verse 2 that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. See, the Thessalonians were tested doctrinally, bigger than many of the other churches that Paul wrote to. He says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. So they had obviously received some letters that were counterfeit, that the people said they were from Paul when they weren't. And those letters were talking about the day of Christ, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now remember, the day of Christ doesn't begin until after the rapture. The day of Christ is the tribulation period going on into the kingdom. And as we've studied many times, it's a Jewish dispensation. Right now, this is a church dispensation. So God will do a swap. It will no longer be about the church. It'll be about Israel. But he says, let no man deceive you. In other words, don't let anybody fool you into thinking that there's going to be a special sign that says, here's the Antichrist. Although most people That's what they're looking for, isn't it? They're always talking about the mark of the beast. They're always talking about earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. All those verses, especially from Matthew 24, are talking about the tribulation period. They're not talking about now. But people, because they aren't rightly dividing the word of truth, they put them in the wrong place and think, oh, there was a big world war. Jesus is coming soon. Folks, there's been wars for 2,000 years. Oh, there was an earthquake. Jesus is coming soon. There's been earthquakes for 2,000 years. There will not be a sign that says Jesus is coming soon. Now, there will be signs of the last days, which we find ourselves in. And that's what he talks about here in verse 3. He says, lo, no man deceive you, except there come a falling away first. Now, there's been a falling away since the time of the apostles. I mean, the early church was faithful to Jesus, but it didn't take long for things to go south, if you will. And then came in Constantine and the Catholic Church and the Dark Ages. And the church age has been a mess for a long time, hasn't it? And there's been a falling away. And then came, of course, the Reformation, when in some sense Christianity kind of came back to the Bible. But look where we are now, at the end of the 2,000 years. So many times in Scripture we're warned about these last days. We're not going to read all the passages. There's too many. We did a study and found there were 25 characteristics of the last days. So it's on YouTube. Look it up. But 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, those times are here, aren't they? 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is now. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So that's where we are now. 2 Peter 2:1, there were false prophets, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So God warned us this was going to happen, that doctrinally, that things would just keep getting worse and worse. There would be more cults. There would be more false doctrine, more spirits of devils spreading this false doctrine. And if you look at the major cults in the world today, most of them are fairly young compared to the 2,000 years of church history. So we're in the last days. The falling away has started, amen? And then what's going to happen? The man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. So this man of sin, let's go to Revelation 17, verse 8. Make sure we know who this is. And that is, of course, the Antichrist or the beast. Notice, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Remember, he'll be wounded unto death and then come back to life, because the devil always tries to counterfeit Jesus Christ. And that'll be another example of that counterfeiting. But notice where he will go. Perdition. So this is the son of perdition that's coming, who will run the tribulation period. And let's go to verse 4 now of our passage. And we find out that he, the Antichrist, is obviously under the influence of the devil. It's basically the devil in human form. And he is finally getting what he's always wanted. A lot of people don't know what the devil's always wanted. But you just have to read Isaiah 14 and you can see it. Let's turn there, Isaiah 14, verse 13. The devil's really only wanted one thing since his fall. And he didn't get it right away, and so he chose to wreak havoc here on earth for 6,000 years as the god of this world. But this is what he's always wanted, Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. What he's always wanted is to be worshipped as God. That's what he's always wanted more than anything else. If you go to Daniel 7, verse 25, we'll again see this man of sin, this son of perdition, the beast, the Antichrist. Notice Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's the 3.5 years, the second half of the tribulation. Then go to Daniel 8, verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So this is when the temple in Jerusalem will be defiled by Satan. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 15, and we'll see Jesus describe this for us. Matthew 24, 15. Jesus says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, we just read that in Daniel 8, stand in the holy place. Where's that? That's in the temple. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So this is when Satan, in the person of the Antichrist, sits on the throne in the temple in Jerusalem, and people will say, that is God. And they will worship him as God. So back to our verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Notice at the end of the verse, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There is what he's always wanted. That he will sit in God's temple claiming to be God. He's not going to sit there with horns and a red tail and say, I am Satan, worship me as Satan. No, he's going to say, I am God. And people are going to believe him. Why? Well, because of all the miracles that he's going to be able to work. He's going to trick the world into worshiping him. But let's move on through our passage. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, Satan's already been busy, hasn't he? If you go to 1 John 4, we'll see this. But he's already been sending out spirits of false prophets for 2,000 years, spreading false doctrine, leading man astray, blinding people's hearts to the truth of the Word of God. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist has already been here for 2,000 years, spreading false doctrine, leading people astray from the truth of God's word. So back to the verse 7 of our passage, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That word let, we don't use it this way anymore, but it means to restrain. It's an old usage of the word let. It means to hold back or to restrain, if you look at the Greek behind it. And it was an old usage of English in this way. So who is this person who is holding things back? Who is this one who is restraining? Well, if you study it out, it has to be the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus made a promise to his disciples. He said, when I leave, I will what? I will send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. He will come And sure enough, the day of Pentecost, that's exactly what happened. And now he's been indwelling God's people since. Amen. And if you're saved, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. When the trumpet blows and the rapture comes, every person who's indwelled by the Holy Ghost leaves at the same time. You know what that means? The Holy Ghost leaves in that sense. Now, he's everywhere because he's God. But in the sense of permanently indwelling people, it'll be over. There's no record in the tribulation of him permanently indwelling and sealing until the day of redemption. So who is holding back? Who's restraining all of this from happening? It's God in the person of the Holy Ghost. And he is holding it back until what? He be taken out of the way. When's that going to happen? Chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 in 1 Thessalonians. That's when he'll be taken out of the way as one, the whole church. So essentially, the church is what's holding back the Antichrist. How is that? Because we are God. We are part of God's body. We have God living in us. And we're one body. So that one body goes when the trumpet blows. And so he who now restrains or lets will be taken out of the way. And then what? Verse 8. Then the wicked will be revealed. Then it all begins. Now when Jesus returns to the earth 7 years later, it says there in verse 8, he will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. When he returns, which we saw in chapter 1, Jesus comes to destroy. Notice verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So where will the Antichrist get this ability to trick the world into worshiping him? Verse 9, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So during the time of Christ, the signs and the wonders were to authenticate the message of the apostles. Amen? And they were unmistakable. If you had the gift of healing, you healed everybody. If you had the gift of tongues, you could speak other languages without even thinking about it. It was just automatic. If you had the gift of prophecy, every prophecy was straight from God and was true. And so forth. But the next time that there are miracles and wonders, it's not to authenticate the word of God. It's to lead people to the devil. Isn't that something? And so it's not from the power of God, it's from the power of Satan. That's what it just says, isn't it? After the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And Jesus said the same thing if you go to Matthew 24:24. Jesus warned us as a church that if a person, I shouldn't say as the church, but as people who are willing to read the Word of God, if they find themselves in a time where there's a lot of miracles happening and a lot of signs and wonders, and they're leading people to worship whoever's sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, Jesus says, it's not him. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. There it is. Who are these people? False Christ, false prophets, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so the Antichrist will use these signs and lying wonders to deceive the world into worshiping him. And he will sit in the temple of God as God and claim to be God. And all of this will happen after the trumpet blows and you and I leave. Hallelujah. So what about the people? So that's the mystery of iniquity. That's the Antichrist empowered by Satan, working miracles. Let's look at Revelation 13:13 quickly, just see an example of his power during the tribulation period. Revelation 13:13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Does that sound familiar? Elijah did that. God did that in the Old Testament, didn't he? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's a lot of power. And that's all Satan. God's not doing this. Satan's doing it. God's allowing Satan to do it. What about those who don't get saved? Verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2. And with all deceivableness of righteousness and them that perish because they receive not to the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Well, that's never changed, has it? Those who are not willing to receive the love of the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will perish. That's true now. It'll be true then. A lot of people try to take this passage and teach that if you reject Christ during the church age, then you can't get saved in the tribulation. I don't see that in the passage, but because the Bible says so many people get saved in the tribulation, it's a multitude, like the sand of the sea, which is good news that a lot of people are going to get saved. Amen. But if they receive not the love of the truth, that they receive not the gospel, but instead choose to worship the Antichrist, they're going to perish. And that's always been true. If they choose not to turn to Jesus as their Savior, that will be true in the tribulation as much as it is now. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if you look at Ephesians 1:13, we'll see this word of truth. That's what it takes to get saved. That's always been true. Notice, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So back to our passage. Those who reject the gospel, it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If you reject the gospel too many times, God makes it easier for you to believe a lie. And the devil has plenty of lies out there, doesn't he? We're told in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So, they'll believe a lie. And their ultimate end, verse 12, is that they will be damned. Who believed not the truth. It always comes down to believing the truth. It always comes down to the gospel, doesn't it? Trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Those who believe not the truth will be damned. And that's been true. It's true now. Look at Mark 16:16, and we'll see this, where Jesus gave us the Great Commission. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be what? Damned. That's part of the Great Commission. Damned. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what have we learned tonight? We've learned that when he who letteth is taken out of the way, when the Holy Spirit leaves with the church, no more restraining, then the Antichrist, the Satan, will have free reign and he will enjoy his 7 years of being in charge and of fooling the whole world into worshiping him. And you know, the world's been trying so hard to have one world government. There will be one world government during the tribulation period. The only problem is it'll be run by the devil. And as you know, in Revelation, that one world government will make some rules, pretty simple ones. Either take a mark or you can't eat. We all know about the mark of the beast, right? And that's all coming. And many people will say, I refuse to take the mark. They'll have their heads cut off. The guillotine will be reintroduced. And instantly in heaven if they're saved. All of this is going to happen when he who now lets will take it out of the way. And then Satan will get to work with his what? Signs and lying wonders, leading the whole world to worship him, as we see in verse 4, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is the mystery of iniquity. That Satan will actually be worshipped as Almighty God during the tribulation period. Aren't you thankful you're saved and don't have to face any of this stuff? Hallelujah. We need to warn others that the mystery of iniquity is on its way. It could happen tomorrow. The trumpet could blow and it'll begin. So people need to be warned. They need to, as always, as we see in verses 10 to 12, receive the love of the truth. Trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Be rescued from damnation so that they don't have to face this horrible time when the mystery of iniquity begins. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this short little lesson tonight on the Antichrist. And, Lord, the necessity to tell folks how they can be rescued from that terrible time that's coming through the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we share it so that they would know that you loved them and died and rose again for them and offer them eternal life, and that they can find you as Savior and be born again. And Lord, may we take that seriously, knowing that once we're gone, it's too late. So thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name.